All right, well, there will be a new look in Congress next year as Democrats take control of the House of Representatives. Joining us right now, newly reelected representative from the Flint area, Dan Kildee. Congressman, good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me back on.
Yeah, I appreciate you joining us. We haven't talked in a while. I know it was a busy campaign season. Now that's over. And you look forward to next year when your party takes control of the House. How does that feel?
Well, we're pretty excited about it. Obviously, it's something we've been working on, all this cycle to try to regain the majority. I believe anyway that we have ideas to offer that the American people will support. And I'm hoping, this is probably the most important challenge to us, I'm hoping that as Democrats in the majority, we can sort of rebuild what has been a bipartisan approach to many of the problems that we face. I think it would be a big mistake for Democrats to try to go it alone. And I think this country is just yearning for a more practical approach to problem solving, and I'm hoping and I'm going to push my Democratic colleagues to take that approach.
Where are some areas that you think you can find common ground with Republicans?
Well, I think the big areas where we clearly have some common need would include infrastructure, for example. We know in Michigan that aging infrastructure works against our economic interests. It costs us all a lot more money as consumers. And in my hometown of Flint, of course, we know failing infrastructure can have consequences that go way beyond just inconvenience. It's a serious problem. But there's no Democratic or Republican road or water line or bridge or rail system. This is something that clearly transcends political partisanship. I'm hoping that that's what we lead with. I think there are other issues like bringing down the cost of prescription drugs, protecting Social Security and Medicare, protecting pensions. All of those really have broad bipartisan support, and I hope that's how we approach it, and I hope those are the issues that we lead with.
Nancy Pelosi says that she wants to be the House Speaker, but there are others that would like to challenge her as well. Have you decided who you're going to throw your support behind?
Well, so far, despite the fact that other names have been sort of tossed into the mix, no one has stepped up to challenge Nancy Pelosi. And everybody, including Nancy, has her strengths and weaknesses. But you can't beat somebody with no one. And my view is if any of these challengers are unwilling to step up and challenge Nancy Pelosi, I question whether they have the grit that it takes to do this job when dealing with Mitch McConnell, the leader of the Senate, or Donald Trump. So as it stands right now, I will be supporting Nancy Pelosi, largely because she came to bat for me when I needed help at Flint, and no one else is running against her.
There you go. You mentioned infrastructure. I know that was one of the things that was probably discussed yesterday at the roundtable discussion that you had. And this is really interesting. I know this is a series that you've been doing, but yesterday's topic was rethinking state and federal support for America's cities and towns. You need look no further than Flint to see a community that has been failed by state and federal government time after time. And so I want to know a little bit more about what was discussed yesterday, and if there were any new ideas that came out of this roundtable.
Yeah, so we've had this, as you said, a series of conversations dating back about a year to bring attention to the fact that there are a lot of cities and towns in this country that don't seem to have a robust economic growth, even during periods of national growth. Flint is a good example, but so is Saginaw, Detroit, even obviously communities like Port Huron, which have been so, focused on our older industrial legacy and haven't been able to advance into the new economy. What we did yesterday was look at the fiscal impact on those communities of this long-term sort of chronic economic struggle. It was a group from Standard & Poor's, which is one of the bond rating agencies. They did a lot of analysis on what's going on with cities. And, of course, what they found is something that I knew intuitively, but they brought the data. They found that it has largely been the result of state and federal policy changes that many of these cities are really struggling. So if the state and federal government played a hand in causing the problem, it's my view that the states and federal government need to be a part of the solution, and that's what this whole conversation has been about.
Do you think that as a result of these conversations, then can you and others bring about new policy that would help some of those communities?
That's my hope. Some of the conversation yesterday, as you mentioned, focused on infrastructure. One thought is that what we've been working on is that if and when, and it's only really a matter of when, the federal government takes a big approach to infrastructure, we will need to have a unique set of interventions or fixes for these older cities that won't be able to come up with the local match that's usually required for federal funding, that have specific needs to re-engineer their water and sewer systems, for example, to match their current population. The idea is to have an intense reinvestment plan for those older communities so that the national infrastructure investment actually includes economic growth for them and does not just continue to create a greater divide between the haves and the have-nots, the communities that are growing and the communities that are struggling. That's going to be a big effort, a tall order, but you know that's why we're raising these issues, and that's why we launched the Future of America's Cities and Towns initiative.
Interesting. Just a few weeks left in the lame duck session of the House with Republican control. Anything that you anticipate happening in the weeks ahead?
Well, a couple things. One, we have to finish the work on the federal budget and fund the government for the full year. We have a December 7 deadline to get that done because Congress just kicked the can down the road back in the earlier fall. And we need to finish the farm bill. And I believe we may have come to agreement to get the farm bill passed by the House and the Senate so that there's certainty in the agriculture sector and certainty of funding for important nutrition programs. So I feel pretty good that we'll get that done. Senator Stabenow in particular has worked really hard to get us to the place we are, and I'm looking forward to getting it finished.
Oh, is it kind of a different feel after the election, isn't there?
Yeah, it is. It's sort of like, okay, let's get back to work here and try to put down the rhetoric and roll up our sleeves and just focus on the issues.
Yeah, well, we appreciate you giving us a few minutes of your time today, Congressman. Happy Thanksgiving, and we'll talk again soon.
Same to you. Thank you very much.
Take care, Dan. Bye-bye.